I want to speak a little bit about this evening about the subject of Christian growth. The Bible teaches us that when a person becomes a Christian, they're not instantly mature, that there is progress that they will make beyond the time of their conversion. There's a whole growing up process that is required, and it is indeed a lifelong process. No matter how many years a person has been a believer, there is still room for growth and for progress in the Christian faith. Let me just read a few verses from God's Word that speak about spiritual growth. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, Paul says, "Your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing." Ephesians 4, verse 15, Paul writes about speaking the truth in love, "We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ." In the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." And in the last verse we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, we have the command of God. We are commanded to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christians are commanded to grow in grace, to grow in knowledge. If we're not growing in these things, then there's something wrong, and God has commanded us that we are to grow in these things. There's a man that we've never had yet to speak at our RP Ministers Conference. I believe we've been pursuing him for over 25 years. John Hawthorne tried many times. David Sutherland has tried many times, and we still haven't pinned him down. I think it was this weekend that there was a conference in Belfast that he was speaking at, and David Sutherland was attempting to get hold of him this weekend, and I don't know if he has succeeded in that. Sinclair Ferguson is the name of that man, and he has a good little booklet entitled Healthy Christian Growth, and in that little booklet he draws a parallel between physical growth on the one hand and spiritual growth on the other hand. And he talks about three things that are necessary for growth in physical life. And then he says the same thing is true in terms of our spiritual life. Well, you might guess what those three things might be. There's more than three things. There's just three that he picks on. One of them that he might have talked about would have been sleep. Sleep is a very important thing for physical growth. Apparently, we grow when we are sleeping. And little children sleep a lot, and they grow a lot. And that sleep is all important. And if you were able to measure the height of a child at the in the morning, they might be that bit longer than they were before they went to sleep at night. But sleep isn't one of the three things that he talks about. This is what he says. He says, in physical life, growth depends on nourishment, exercise, and an environment in which we can develop. And I want to follow that thought pattern then, that for our spiritual development, here's three things that we need. We need nourishment. We need exercise, and we need the right environment. First of all, let's think about nourishment. A little baby will not grow if it does not receive nourishment. And God has so designed us that a mother's breast milk is just the perfect thing for a little newborn child. There's very special stuff in the breast milk that a mother has in those first few days of breastfeeding, and that's all down to the great wisdom of our God. And if the baby doesn't get proper nourishment that's suited to the baby at the stage that it's at, it won't grow, and in fact it will die if it doesn't get its nourishment. And Christians also need nourishment. We need spiritual food if we are to grow. The Lord Jesus, at the time when he fed the 5,000, he said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry." And in those simple words, Jesus gives us the secret of being spiritually well nourished. The secret is to keep on coming to Christ. He who comes to me will never go hungry. We have to just keep on coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering who he is, coming to his word, and we will never go hungry if we do that. The Apostle Peter spells out what that means, what it means in practice, in what he says in 1 Peter 2, verse 2. I've referred to that verse already. He says there, "As newborn babes, we are to desire or crave the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." And the milk that's referred to there is the teaching of God's word. We're to have a desire for God's word, a craving for the word of God. It's something that we're to get addicted to. There are good things to be addicted to, and the word of God is a good thing. It's good to have a craving for the word of God. All the necessary nutrients to enable us to grow in the Christian faith are here within God's special book. We need a balanced diet to be able to grow in our faith. And within the Word of God, there is a balanced diet. There's something there for everyone. Some people learn a lot through the storyline of the Scripture. Others learn a lot through the praises of the Scriptures. Others learn by the direct teaching parts of the Scriptures. We need God's Word if we're to grow in our faith. We need to keep on coming to the living Word. Sometimes in life, people are not well, and when they're not well, they lose their appetite, they become weak, and they become prone to other illnesses apart from the one that has laid them low. And the same can be true in a spiritual sense. People can begin to neglect the reading of God's word or the preaching of God's word, and that can have a knock-on effect. Their spiritual growth will be retarded, and the dangerous thing is when a person stops eating, well, then they lose their appetite. And when people are ill at times, they just don't feel like eating, and sometimes they have to force themselves to eat because they know they're not going to recover unless they get some nutrition into them. And it's the same when people are at a spiritual low point. People can get to a place where they don't really feel like reading the Word of God. No real desire to pick up the Bible and find something there that will be of help. In those situations, it's essential to do what we don't feel like doing. The desire to feed will not return without the process of feeding. Sometimes it can take a while for people to get back into the Word of God after they've really not been reading it and studying it properly. But they do get back. And it's only by feeding on God's Word that we can regain a spiritual appetite. And that decision to look for nourishment in God's word is something that we have to keep on making. Jesus said, "He who comes to me will never grow hungry." And we come to the Lord in his word. That's where we find the bread of life. That's where we find the word of God. So in order to grow in the faith, we need to always be drawing on the nourishment that comes from God's word. It is our spiritual food, and we cannot grow without an adequate diet. The second thing we need for physical growth and for spiritual growth is exercise. There's something wrong with a child that just sits in the one spot all the time. That child will not grow strong and healthy. Exercise is something that strengthens the body. It strengthens the muscles of the body. It strengthens other important parts of the body. Exercise is something that helps that most important muscle in our body, our heart, which is a big muscle. And without exercise, people grow weak and people grow flabby. And it's the same thing in the spiritual sense. We need exercise, spiritual exercise. And for one thing, we need the spiritual exercise of worshiping God. Sinclair Ferguson writes that the single most important activity of your life is to worship God. Not many people believe that. But that's what he says. The single most important activity of your life is to worship God. No one will ever grow as a Christian by neglecting the worship of God. The worship of God is not meant to be something that we fit in to our busy schedule if we have time and if we feel like it. Worshiping God is what God made us for. And it is all important, and it is like exercise for our bodies. The worship of God is all important for growth in the Christian faith. Secondly, we need exercise in terms of exercise for our minds. One of the blessings that we have in living in the part of the world that we do live in is that we speak English and we can read English. And we have a huge number of Christian books that are available that are written in our language. Even in a language such as French, there isn't nearly the same range of Christian literature that's available as there is in the English language. There are lots of good books that have been written over the years. Books about the Christian faith, books that help us to understand the Christian faith, books that tell us about servants of God that he has greatly blessed in the past and that have been mightily used by him. And we need to feed our minds by reading things that are good for us to read. There are far too many books available. You could not possibly read all that is out there. And therefore, there's a necessity to be selective and to choose wisely what we do read. Some of the most popular Christian books at any particular time will be forgotten about within a short period of time. They're there for a little while, but they don't last. There are others that continue to be of great value down through centuries even. In my own spiritual development, one of the one of the things that brought me on in my Christian faith was reading the sermons of Martin Lloyd-Jones. And that was something that gave me an appetite for God's truth. They're just sermons written down on paper, but they're sermons from the Word of God. And reading those things when I was in my late teens and beyond, that was a great thing, a great means that God used to convince me of the Christian faith and the doctrines of the Scriptures. I've often recommended J.C. Ryle's Expository Thoughts on the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He has at least one volume on each of those, depending on what version of it you have. I've lent those to various people over the years. Two of them are in different places at the minute, and I was just reading Ryle on Mark not so long ago, and they've been a great blessing to me. I also mentioned anything by Jerry Bridges as being well worth reading, and I was talking just recently to someone who had taken up that recommendation and has been thoroughly enjoying the books by Jerry Bridges, and said that one of them he had read three times and he was going to begin again, I think. We need exercise for our minds. And reading things that are worth reading is a great way of exercising our minds and helping us to grow in the Christian faith. So we need the exercise of worship. We need the exercise of our minds. But we also need the exercise of just doing things for the Lord. You wouldn't be much of a Christian if all you ever did was read books or go to worship services. You need to put your knowledge into action. The things that you've learned, the things that you've understood, you need to put those into action. Do something about those things. We need to open our mouths and put into words the things that we have learned so that those things are a blessing to others. We need to ensure that we're doing something with what we do know and what God has taught us already in life. It's a good thing to become involved in some way in serving other people within Christ's church. Putting our faith into practice is a good thing. It's a good thing when our young folk go off on go teams and seek to give to others something of what they have received themselves. It's a good thing when our young folk go on to be cooks and officers and leaders at camps after they've been through the camps themselves. Doing something for the Lord is a thing that really brings you on in your faith. And I'm not sure, for example, if William here would be an elder in our congregation now, if he hadn't a number of years ago agreed that he would take on the Sabbath school class that used to be David Kennedy's class. And he wasn't sure that he could do a good job, but he gave it a go. And that was a good thing in his experience. Doing something for the Lord gives you an appetite for doing something else for the Lord. Exercise is the second thing that's necessary. Exercise of worship, exercise of our mind, the exercise of just doing something. And then the third thing for growth and progress is environment. A child grows best in a stable environment, in a loving environment. And it needs to be said in today's world that a child grows best in a stable family where it has one father and one mother. Spiritual growth takes place best in the company of other people. Spiritual growth takes place in the family of God, which is the church. God places people in families, and God places Christian believers within his great church family. That's the way God has designed things. Now, just as it is the case with the natural family, men come up with their own ideas. Why don't we try this instead of the old traditional patterns? But God's way is best. And for Christians, none of us will ever be what we might be unless we have the help of others within Christ's church. It is God's way that he doesn't give anyone all the gifts that are needed within the church. He gives different gifts to different people in order that everybody might benefit from everyone else. God made us to be people who will give and who will receive. Now, there will be times in our lives when we might need to receive more than we're going to be able to give. And there'll be other times in our lives when we might feel as if we're giving all the time and we're not receiving very much at all. One of the reasons why people sometimes do not really grow in their Christian faith is because they're not willing to accept help from others. And that reluctance prevents people from actually growing. God made us to be people who need the help of others. He doesn't make us self-sufficient. He makes us so that we are to depend upon other believers. None of us can be always giving and never receiving. That's just not the way God has made us to function. God can be like that, but we are not God. Another reason for failure to grow is if our hearts are closed against a fellow believer. If that's the case, we won't grow in our faith. We have to allow God to be the one who chooses who his servants are. We can't seek to overrule God's choice by our own actions. And if we seek to shut out someone that we know is a fellow believer, we are going against God. His intention is not to shut them out, but to bring them in. And we stunt our own growth if our hearts are closed against a fellow believer. Probably many of us who are here this evening have been through difficult times in our lives. And some are going through difficult times even now. And the way to go forward in those kind of situations is not for us to all just try to muddle through in our own strength, but rather we need the strength of others to help us to get through in the things of God. Last week I was preaching in Dromore, and after the service there was one of the people that I knew in the congregation spoke to me after the service, and she was speaking a word of encouragement to me, and she said, "You'll never know how relevant that message was for us today." Well, she wasn't going to tell me how relevant it was, but she was wanting to tell me that it had been really something that had been appropriate for whatever her situation was. And that's someone who was open to receiving help, not trying to sort everything out in our own way and in our own strength. And we need to be like that. If we get isolated, we just lose strength, and we will not progress. It's the devil's trap to get us isolated, trying to face things on our own. That's not God's way. God sends us troubles and problems, and they're there as opportunities for spiritual growth. But we need to look to one another in the midst of those times. We need the right environment in order to make progress in our faith. We need to be there in the midst of God's people. We need to be seeking to help other people for them to make progress, and they also will be able to help us to make progress. One of the things that I was saying last Sabbath in Drumore was about patience, and I was saying that we don't learn patience. It's just an academic thing in our head where we can write a nice paragraph about what patience is all about. That patience isn't really something that you can learn through a sermon and through going to church. That we learn patience through the difficult things that God gives us to deal with in life. And at the end of the sermon, at the end of the service, when one youngish man was going out, he told me there was one thing that he disagreed with in my sermon. I was quite encouraged by that. There was only the one thing. And the one thing was the bit about patience. And what he said to me was, you can learn a lot about patience when you're in church with a two-year-old child. Well, I remember those days. I was usually in the pulpit, but I knew what he was saying, and we learn things not in isolation, but we learn things in the company of God's people, and in dealing with the difficulties of life. That's how we make progress in the faith. And God commands us that we are to grow in our Christian faith. We're commanded to grow in our Christian faith. God doesn't give us the option of just being content that we know these things, we understand these things, we have our pattern of life, we'll stick to this pattern, we're not going to fall away from it. Well, God commands us that we're to grow in our Christian faith, that we are to add to our knowledge, we're to add to our faith. J.C. Ryle makes this comment. He says, the Christian who is always at a standstill, to all appearances the same man, with the same little faults and weaknesses and besetting sins and petty infirmities, is seldom the Christian who does much good. The man who shakes and stirs minds and sets the world thinking is the believer who is continually improving and going forward. Men think there is life and reality when they see growth. And so for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of our witness, for the sake of Christ himself, we need to be people who are growing in our faith. And that is the thing that causes people to think there must be something to this Christian business. Because these people have been Christians for years, and they still seem to be going forward and making progress in it. For the sake of our Lord, we need to grow. We need to grow so that others will have that evidence before their eyes. They'll not be able to deny the reality of the Christian faith. They will see the Lord's ongoing power. Many people won't read a word of Scripture or think about it. But if they see the evidence of Christian lives lived out before them, that's something they cannot deny. We are to grow in our faith. And growing in our faith is growing in likeness to Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. He loves his son, Jesus. And he wants to see that family likeness, that family resemblance in all his adopted children. God has put us here in order to make us like his son. And of course, that means he has a lot of work to do. There is so much in which we are not like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let us not put obstacles in the way of God's Spirit, who is seeking this Christ-likeness in us. But let us seek to cooperate with him in the work that he does within us. Let's not be content with a Christianity that will do us our day, but let's strive for one that will shape the lives of the generations to come. Peter tells us that we are to go on, to progress in our faith. And he says in 2 Peter 1, verse 8, that if we are growing and if we are progressing, then we will be kept from being barren and kept from being unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to be barren. We don't want to be unfruitful. We want to do what God commands. We are to grow in the grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our Lord and Savior tells us that if we keep on coming to him, we will never hunger. And our Savior teaches us that if we are united with him, we will bear fruit. We will bear much fruit. We've got to keep on looking to Christ and coming to Christ, and that's how we can go forward in our faith. Amen.